Hello, friends. You're listening to Power Walk. We're thrilled that you've tuned in today as we have an exciting lesson to share with you. Also, don't forget to join us Monday through Friday right here at this same time. We continue with our series, Strength for Today, with our teacher, Reverend Paul Cannings of Living Word Fellowship Church in Houston, Texas. He's also founder and president of Power Walk Ministries. God has called Pastor Cannings to serve and equip individuals with the power of the gospel. You can obtain helpful resources by Pastor Cannings from our bookstore at powerwalkministries.org. Right now, let's learn about resisting Satan's attacks. Here's Dr. Cannings now with part two of the message from that series.
God could give Job his stuff back in 2 seconds. He gave him twice what he lost by the end of this trial. God is not a struggle with blessing us. God can bless us anytime he wants. He owns everything. If you own everything, what's the struggle with blessing somebody? Understand, folks, the issue was here is that God knew the heart of Job. He knew that Job would stay in the A game. He knew that Job would stay in the game that is the best game for Job. It is not until his children were taken. In verse 19, not until his children was taken, Job lost it. I just wonder if God was to take everything from us. Just gone. Just boom. Gone. Would we still worship him? Honestly. Would we still give to him? Because we are into such a prosperity type of world today, prosperity theology world, that if God is walking with you, you're blessed. So what happened to the poor person who loves God? What happened to the poor person in Third Ward living in a shack house, is living there loving God, walking with God, serving God, blessing God, giving from the poverty that he or she has, serving God in a local church? Are you saying that they ain't blessed? Are we saying that Jesus wasn't blessed? He said foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but a son of man has no place to lay his head. How could he say he has nothing and be blessed? But we are so caught up today in a materialistic world that we believe the only time you bless is when you got stuff. How could blessings from God be stuff when you can't take it to heaven? Blessing from God is a whole lot more than material stuff, folks. Whole lot more than that. A blessing from God is when God preserves. One of the blessings is when God preserves your family. And Job knew that. Job knew that the covering that he had covered his family. So if God touched his family, something is wrong. Look at this carefully. Because Job would go sacrifice for his kids on a regular basis. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1. The key thing for God is family. What is the first thing God established in the Garden of Eden? Family, not church. Family, not stuff. Family. Family. The thing that is important to God that we take so for granted. So for granted. Because we're busy, got to work, got to this, got to that, got to have, got to go here, got to exercise. It's family. Do you know that Satan could have taken Job's wife? He had the right to. God gave him the right to. He left Job's wife in place, purposely. Look at verse 4. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house each day, on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feasting were completed, their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning, offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. In those days, the father was the priest. There was no high priest. There was no Aaron. There was no sons of Aaron. The fathers were the high priests. They were the ones who ruled the family. Job knew that. So when God touched his family, look at verse 19 of chapter 1. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness. Watch this, the wind, the fire from heaven. The wind now comes. The four corners of the house, it fell on the young people and they died. All in one day, 10 kids gone. I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose. You got to see the then in verse 20. Then, boom, Job arose. Job says, what? I lost on 10 of my kids. Are you serious? Now, I know people say, well, where's the wife? The wife, Job is at the city gates. He's an elder. He sat at the city gates. He judged the city. He made decisions for the city. He was not just a rich man. He was a very wise man that people looked to and depended on. So he was at the city gates providing counsel, and just like he had with Boaz and Ruth situation, making decisions for people at the city gates. And when he's at the city gates, he hears this. Job, the word arose means whatever strength was left in his body, he got up. He got up in shock, total disillusionment. Job was struggling. You just took my kids, all of them. Job is lost. That's why it says, then Job arose and tore his robe. Every description they're giving for Job is saying that Job was showing so much mourning, tore, shave his head. He was reacting so radically, there was no question what Job thought about his kids. No question. This is a man that sacrificed for his kids. This is a man that knew that they were older now and they could go be merry and drink and party. And he just wanted to make sure that their life with God was right. And so he would sacrifice for his kids, watch over his kid. And for God to take him, how could this God take him? One is a reaction of total loss, total bewilderment. And then very next moment, boom, Job is on his knees worshiping God. How could this man do this? Job is saying, I got to stick with the A game. If Satan is going to be this vicious, I've got to stick with the person who loves me. The best person to stick with is God. That's why it says, look at this. He tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped. In front of all these people as an elder, as the greatest, richest man in the East. In front of all the people that would line up at the city gates. Knowing that all these people think that if things are going bad for you, you must have sinned. You must have done wrong. There is no way you could do right and things go wrong. Knowing they think that, Job didn't care. Job said, I fall on my face. Oh, folks. Falling on his face means, in their day, God, I come before you totally humble. I recognize that you're the superior being. I don't care how bad things look. You're still in control. And that I know that you can rescue me at any time you choose. That you are God. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. I don't dare raise my face before you because you are still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're still holy. You're still righteous. You're still great. You're still in control. You are still superior. You are still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I wouldn't dare, in spite of all I've lost, I wouldn't dare raise my face before you and talk to you. I would rather come before you totally humble. I walk into your presence still respecting who you are. We'll do that better for a boss than we would for God. A boss will say you can't get a raise and you can't get your day off, and we'll still go in and say, hi, sir. Hi, ma'am. But to God, that's why I don't even do this church thing no more. Read my Bible, I pray, look at what's going wrong with me. Look at them, they driving up looking nice, look at me. I still got the hoopty, and I work hard. I give to the church. I serve the church. We don't bow down. We in God's face. Why? Satan doesn't know our heart. We don't know our heart. God knows our heart. And many times God wants to show us who we really are. He's going to save us. He's going to keep us. But he wants to teach us who we really are. Where would you be today if all your kids were gone? Would you still worship God? Would you still come before him and still see him as in control every moment of the day? Oh, folks, until we come there, we don't live our lives with total confidence in God. And when we don't live our lives in total confidence in God, Satan can rattle us any minute and eventually drive us away from God. The Bible says in Matthew 24, in the last days, people will get, their hearts will grow cold and they will walk away from God. They will lose their faith, that they'll see wars and rumors of wars, plagues coming, all these different things that God is saying is necessary. These things are necessary before the Son of Man comes. He's telling us that these things that are happening around the world is necessary. But when we see them, we become agnostics. Where is God anyway? We don't worship. We turn. We show that the whole time we were with God for the stuff, not for the relationship. But if somebody was to come to us and say, hey man, I want to be your friend, and we know they weren't our friend until we got some money, we would say, oh, they're only here for the money. They're only here because of what? And we wouldn't be their friend. But we want God to be our friend. When God says, what kind of man is this that would lay down his life for a friend? I came to give you life. I didn't come to give you stuff. Stuff is a side benefit. When you go to work and you get insurance and all this other stuff, that is a side benefit. They do that as a side benefit to keep you there. They're going to pay you for the work you do. The life insurance retirement is a benefit. It is not a right. All the stuff that we have is a benefit. It ain't a right. God came to give us life and life abundantly. He didn't come to give us stuff. You know, folks, that's why he says that Job trusted that God got his back. I love that. Because look at verse 21 of chapter 1. Job just trusted. God got my back. I ain't worried about this. God has my back. He got my back. It doesn't matter. God got my back.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cannings. How we need to have that total confidence in God. We cannot expect to beat Satan any other way. This series is titled Strength for Today. And as always, we want to remind you that today's lesson and many other biblical resources are available on our website at powerwalkministries.org. Our number is 281-260-7402. We also invite you to learn more about the ministry of Power Walk. We believe that every life is precious, and we're seeking to challenge and equip every individual with the Word of God. We're sharing hope through training local leaders in many parts of the world, and we're reaching hurting communities through our outreach and conferences. You can become a part of this ministry by joining us today as a Power Walk partner. Your financial support will be used to share Jesus Christ in all these areas. Call us at 281-260-7402 or find us online at powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org. And as we leave you, remember, God has your back, so trust Him. He will not let you down when you're fighting against Satan's attacks.